One in five Africans are Nigerian. That's a sense of the scale of the country. It's something of an underestimate to say that it is a worrying time for the nation of Nigeria. This morning, doctors in the city of Kano, say the death toll from Friday's bomb attacks by Islamist militants is certain to rise further. 160 people have so far been confirmed dead. Bodies are still arriving at the city's mortuaries. It's among the most significant terrorist attacks ever in Nigeria. Boko Haram, which claimed responsibility for the attack, wants an Islamic State. It says it launched these attacks because the authorities refused to free a group of its members from jail. We'll talk about Boko Haram and the wider implications in just a moment. But first, let's take you to the northern Nigerian city of Kano. It's a city of over 2 million people. And once again, the entire city has been placed on an overnight curfew. On the weekend, the country's president, Goodluck Jonathan, was there and spoke out about the continuing violence. We have a dispatch from Mark Doyle, who's Africa correspondent for our partner, the BBC.
I'm at one of the police stations now that was attacked on Friday night. And in front of the gates, there's a concrete wall and bullet holes in that concrete wall. These are the bullets which were fired by the assailants, the Boko Haram people. And the police officers who are in the building now behind me started firing at the people who are coming through the gate. And I can see on the other side of the same concrete wall, bullet holes there. The assailants, the Boko Haram, then came inside the police station itself, freed the prisoners who are in the cells here, and then set fire to the place, and completely blackened by fire. The people of Kano have been profoundly shocked by Friday's attacks. So many families have lost loved ones. Everyone I've met here has been traumatized. Nigerians are, for the most part, a tough, resilient people. But this was something else. A city-wide assault involving, quite possibly, hundreds of armed men. Just over the road from the police station I visited, a man was standing in front of his home.
And all your children are okay? Your family is okay?
They are okay. That's not.
Yes. You must have been very scared, eh?
Yes, very, 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 very. Because the whole place was shaking because the bomb was very heavy.
And these attackers, did you see them? Were they young, old?
Young boys. They are young boys of about 17, 18 to 20 years.
Just outside the police station, I also spoke to a Kano newspaper publisher, Bala Baker.
I believe that the government has to do something about it because this insecurity of this country is a very, very serious. It's affecting each and everybody, not even the citizens of the country, even those who are coming to our country. Nowadays, they don't even establish any business, which is very sad to our country, economic and political development. It's very sad.
Voices from the bloodshed and the brutality of the Nigerian city of Kano, where a terrorist attack took more than 160 lives over the weekend. That was Mark Doyle from our partner, the BBC, reporting from Kano. Joining us now from Lagos is Mark Lobel, Nigeria correspondent for the BBC. Mark, first of all, set in context this terrorist attack, Boko Haram, the group that has claimed responsibility for it, and all of the unrest that we witnessed over the last 10 days as those strikes over fuel prices also shut down all sorts of activities in Nigeria. How vulnerable is this huge nation in Africa all of a sudden?
That's right. If you look at the battle on both fronts, it's been a very, very challenging time for the president, Goodluck Jonathan. I think it's fair to say that the battle in the south, the fuel subsidy debate, as you were talking about, has come to an end. Life is back to normal. So the economy is able to recover and people are really able to get back to their own daily lives. There was one element of civil activism that was coming out from that, and these mass rallies were going to continue, but actually were stopped this weekend because of the destruction in Kano. I've just come back from a meeting now where the civil activists have basically said they'll be holding town hall meetings from now on. They're not going to be going for mass rallies. They can't do because there's too much of a security threat in the north. And what's happened is that Boko Haram have really taken the battle to the state, and people are really wondering what the state can do about them.
And so Boko Haram is signaling we can attack anywhere in the country, and you know, we have a sense of invulnerability, which I'm sure terrorizes the population. But what is their specific agenda?
Their specific agenda is difficult to define, and their targets change. Over the past few weeks, we've been reporting about their attacks on Christians specifically. Don't forget, lots of Muslims get caught up in these attacks, but they were had issued an ultimatum against Christians to leave the north. We do know that they want Sharia law across the whole country, so that's one of their aims. But another thing they want is they want their prisoners, political prisoners as they'd call them, people probably armed robbers, people who've been arrested for robbing banks, which is something that the group does a lot in order to increase its revenue, people that have been arrested in connection with other attacks have been put in prison, and they've been calling for a long time for those people to be released. And in fact, Kano was a specific area they were asking for people to be released. About a month ago, there were a few arrests made after Boko Haram attacked air service personnel and policemen. And of course, the police didn't release those people. They're criminals. They're being held. The police say for all sorts of reasons. And then we saw this destructive attack, which quite frankly, it's like New York being attacked. Quite frankly, Kano is a huge and very important political and religious center in Nigeria, and for the heart of the infrastructure, the police infrastructure, to be attacked so successfully in this way really has worried a lot of people here.
Finally, before we go, are the police and the authorities in Nigeria buying this very specific relationship between the attack in Kano and the expiring of this deadline to release these political prisoners? That's among the reports we're seeing, that it was very specific to a deadline for political prisoner to be released in Kano. Are they buying that in fact these deadlines are now going to be taken much more seriously?
Well, that was the reason given by Boko Haram when they claimed responsibility for this. But if you look at the people that were affected, there were many, many more civilians than police officers and security officers. So quite frankly, I think the police are just the security services are just looking at Boko Haram as a threat that needs to be brought in, whether that's through violence, whether that's through talks, whether that's through other means. They've got to come up with the answers. But I think they're just looking at trying to find who the people behind these attacks are, and they're finding that very, very difficult.
Boko Haram and the instability in Nigeria. That's Mark Lobel from Lagos, Nigeria, correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Thanks so much.